Welcome to Inside Scoop 5. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm just really, really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Patricia Sands. She is the author of The Bridge Club. It was never just about the cards. This is a really a moving story about eight women whose lives intersect once a month to play bridge, but their lives really intertwine just beyond the meetings, and it becomes more than just bridge. So stay tuned, because today we're going to be talking about women's friendships and how important they are for our own growth. And also, you know, this book is fictional, but Patricia really bases much of the stories from her own 40-plus years in a group, which started out being a bridge group, but as time went on, they became really good friends, and that's a long time to be together. And during that time, they really went through a lot of aspects of their own lives, and, you know, including all kinds of crises and jubilations. But before we talk to her, let's find out more about Patricia. Patricia Sands lives in Toronto, Canada, and has degrees from the University of Waterloo and York University. With a happily blended family of seven adult children and, at the last count, six grandchildren, life is full and time is short. Beginning with her first Kodak Brownie camera, and oh boy, I remember that, at the age of six, she has told stories all her life through photography. Much to her surprise, a few years ago, she began to write, and her debut novel, The Bridge Club, which we're talking about today, has been published. Currently at work on her second novel, Patricia admits that writing muse has just really possessed her. She is particularly drawn to the rewarding friendships of women and the challenges many embrace once their families are grown. And she says, it's never too late to begin something new. As the saying goes, just do it. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning, Irene. Nice to hear from you.
Well, this is one of my favorite topics, talking about women and friendship, because, you know, I can relate to this. I've got some really special female friends.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't at one time because I didn't trust women. I didn't, and I always thought they were kind of like, I don't know, just stab you in your back and so on, and, you know, sort of like the desperate housewives, you know, of women there, and they're like, to each other, they're great, and sometimes they stab each other, but that's not the way friendships really are they?
It's very true. I think that, you know, if we think back to our teenage days, and maybe, you know, sometimes through the early 20s when women are still, well, when all of us, men and women, are still kind of looking to figure out exactly who we are, you know, perhaps that kind of behavior is more common. But I certainly have found that I have so many wonderful friendships that go back to when I was in my 20s. And, you know, the women of the Bridge Club have all been friends for over 40 years. And I know so many people who have belonged to various groups or just gradually over the years have developed, a gang of friends who have a really great connection, honest, non-judgmental. They have disagreements and for sure. And that's just natural. But the friendship is always there no matter what.
That's right. It really is. Now, 40 years. So is this the same group that has been together for 40 years, all of you together?
Yes. I mean, the book I wrote, The Bridge Club, is about a group of women who have been friends for over 40 years. They got together in their early 20s to play bridge just for, you know, to have a reason to get together once a month, and they were enjoying the game at the time, and they stayed friends ever since and just gone through all the some incredible experience in their lives. And in actual fact, I have a group of girlfriends, and the book is based on that. We've been partying together for years, and we decided to get together once a month to play bridge, and of course it happened very frequently that we never did get around to playing bridge.
That is too funny. I love that kind of a bridge club.
The cocktail hour, you know, and the conversation, and
it's like, oops, it's time to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you handle? I'm going to go back into your own bridge club, and now you've had the book is based on some real events, but you yourself have had a 40-year friendship with your own bridge club. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, 45 years, if the truth be known. Yes, we're all in our mid-60s, which we still find very hard to believe. We are not all living geographically together anymore. But nevertheless, we still do get together frequently. Six of us live fairly close to each other, so we see each other often. And the other four are spread out, three in Western Canada and one down here in Florida, where I am at the moment. And last week there were six of us down here in South Florida from my Real Bridge Club. And we got together to play golf, play a little bridge, do a lot of eating, drink a little wine, and just have a good time together. And last September, all 10 of us were together for a week on Vancouver Island.
Uh-huh.
In the book, the women get together every 5 years to celebrate their birthdays, and that's what we really do, too. So,
that's special. Do you find that some of these women that you don't see for some time, I know I'm talking from my own experience because, you know, I live in Texas and originally came from Canada, and I don't see some of my friends very often, but when I do, even if there are 3 or 4 or 5 years in between, we just sort of start where we left off, and all of a sudden there is no time and space in between those 2 or 5 years. Do you find that also?
Absolutely. It's really quite remarkable, isn't it,
that
you can just pick up where you left off. And I think that when a friendship is sincere, that's what happens. That time really doesn't factor in. And, of course, today, with the Internet and email and Skype, it's so easy to keep in touch.
Exactly.
And I think that's, you know, just a wonderful thing for maintaining friendships.
I agree. Now, how did you, obviously, you know, there are a lot of different personalities. There are 10 of you in your group. And over the 40, 45 years, there have been a lot of changes in people's lives, and as you say, there's also, you know, we've got different personalities, and sometimes we aren't all on the same page, and there are disagreements. How do you handle disagreements within your group?
Well, I think the most important aspect of it is that we're all really honest with each other. And, for example, one of the women developed a drinking problem. This was a number of years ago. She was in her late 30s at the time. And, you know, we'd been saying to her for a year or so, you know, we're really worried about you. We really think you're drinking too much. And she'd go, oh, I am not. I can handle it. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. And she was really very much a functional alcoholic, but she was an alcoholic. And so finally we just, you know, talked amongst ourselves and then confronted her one night and said, look, you know what? We're having an intervention. This is the situation, you know, and we all wrote notes about how we felt about her drinking and, you know, at the same time how we felt about her. And she, in fact, did end up going into rehab and kicked the habit and hasn't had a drop of alcohol in 26 years.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, that was not a pleasant confrontation.
Yeah.
But it had to happen. And was she happy with us at the beginning? No. But, you know, it worked. And, you know, there have been other instances like that where, you know, one of the women was having an affair at one time. And, you know, there was a lot of disagreement about that. And, you know, we just kind of said, well, you know what, just don't talk to us about it. Because, you know, we don't agree. But you're the one making those decisions, and it doesn't affect our lives, but it does affect yours. And you know, we're here if you need help, but otherwise we don't want to hear about it.
And that's setting really a really good healthy boundary for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being able to continue that friendship. You don't approve of what she's doing, but yet there's so much other, you know, the gems that are in the friendship that you were all able to do that and still continue that friendship.
That's right. And I think what it boils down to is values, and if what is going on in someone's life is, you know, just is dangerous, you know, to their health or someone else's health, or really, you know, not acceptable, then of course you have to deal with it. But otherwise, sometimes you need to just say, you know what, it's not my issue, and I still love this person and care about them, and so we'll carry on. And I think that's how good friendships really go on to become great friendships,
mm-hmm.
because you don't give up on a person.
Exactly.
And people come to be able to trust in that friendship and know that it's there, and then they respond likewise. I just read a really interesting review this week, actually. It was kind of coincidental, about a book that was also published last fall by a woman who wrote about how mean and unkind women can be to each other, and how that dynamic needs to change. And I thought, yes, that sure does need to change if that's the way somebody's behaving. But how interesting it was that in my experience as an older woman, I mean, from, say, mid-20s on, I really haven't found that to be the case. And I wondered why some women have that kind of experience. And is it a matter of maybe, you know, you reap what you sow?
Oh, I agree. I think so, because as I had mentioned earlier that, you know, at some time I didn't trust women.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think a lot had to do with my upbringing, because my mother didn't trust women, and it was an imprint that I got from her, and of course that's the way I acted and reacted, and because
mm-hmm.
I believed. I mean, my mother, you know, said that you don't trust women.
Of course.
And I couldn't, and it took me a long time until I finally got it, and through a lot of therapy, that it's okay to trust women. And that's when the shift happens. And all of a sudden, at that time, all of a sudden I, you know, realized I have these gems for friends.
Mm-hmm. And you probably then opened yourself up to accepting that kind of friendship and responded in kind.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really how it works. So I guess your mother must have had a terrible experience with someone.
Well, it's a cultural thing that's passed down for a long time. Many
okay.
generations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're right. There are many cultures where
uh-huh.
where that kind of thinking does exist. But I think generally in the North American society today, that really you find women working together, helping each other, networking like crazy.
Oh, lots of women that network for business.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think, you know, there's a real personal side that's involved in being a successful person networking in business, that, you know, you may be very, very good at your profession, but if you don't have that kind of personality to sincerely connect with someone, then the networking's not going to work as well. I was at a meeting of a women's organization a month or so ago, and there were 7 women at each table, and the diversity of the women at my table was unbelievable. I mean, one woman was a psychic.
Uh-huh.
A couple of us were writers. There were others who were, you know, involved in, one was a lawyer, one was in the information technology business. So, you know, a very diverse group. And yet by the end of the night, we felt so connected. It was really quite remarkable. And we've all stayed in touch by email, and are going to get together in another month. And we discovered through conversations how there are similar aspects to what we do, even though we're really different. And we can see how our connections will, you know, be really enjoyable, and also we'll be able to work together in different ways.
That's great. You know, and I found that, too, that when in these groups, too, one thing that does not matter is age.
Absolutely not.
You know, that's we don't all true. Have to be the same age. I have a best friend that's probably about 15 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I have another best friend that's about 15 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't matter as long as everything else fits.
That's right. And the differences in age bring, again, you know,
uh-huh.
terrific viewpoints and, you know, just different opinions about experiences that we're going through. And I think that makes the friendship even more interesting and more fun.
Exactly. And, you know, we go through stages, too. And, you know, you and I are in the Crohn's stage. And it's kind of a neat place to be in, isn't it? We finally kind of went past that line where we're the wise women, too.
Absolutely.
Like,
that's what I keep telling my children.
Oh, children, yes. Remember when they were just so much smarter than us?
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
But, no, it's great to have... A wonderful group of friends that you know you can rely on, and I love to hear from readers who say that they have connected with different characters in the story, and that, you know, experiences that those women went through, they've gone through themselves, and I hope that listeners who are there listening to us now, hopefully, are thinking about the friendships in their lives and the connections that they've made through the years. Because I think if you can look back on your life and feel that you are rich in friends, then you're rich indeed.
Oh, so agreed, so agreed. So, Patricia, in your own group that you've been with for so long, I mean, 45 years, that
mm-hmm.
you know everything about each other by that time. And so is there anything that you just do not discuss?
You know what? There isn't. And
really?
I think that's, I mean, you know, it's not that we have a plan to discuss something every time we get together, but no, whatever is going on, you know, I mean, it's just all out there. And the great part of it is that, you know, whatever response you get from the rest of the group is going to be honest. You know, I mean, if somebody thinks what's going on is really not a good idea, they say so.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if people really agree with it, then, you know, that you have that wonderful support. I mean, one of the women in our group, this was back in the late 70s, so again, a very different time, came out as a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was just a major disclosure for her at the time. And, you know, she just felt comfortable enough to know that whatever the responses were, she could deal with them.
Uh-huh.
And the responses were all, well, first of all, shock, because none of us even guessed, not had even thought about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
She said, you know what, I'm as surprised as you are that I know this is who I am.
Wow.
And, you know, how can you not support that? It's things like that. I mean, it doesn't get much more serious than that. You know, we've talked about and dealt with, and, you know, we talk about problems with kids. Some of us have kids, some of us don't. Some of us have been divorced, some of us haven't. You know, I mean, just the stuff of life, right? When I was in my 40s, my husband died of pancreatic cancer, and our sons were 12 and 13 at the time. And again, you know, this group of women, I mean, have other wonderful friends, too, who were all incredibly helpful and supportive and a fabulous family. But again, you know, this group of friends just rallied around and were just there. You know, would just appear on my doorsteps and stay for the day and cook and pay bills. And we lived in the country, so they'd, you know, drive to pick up my kids from school and stuff like that. And a wonderful support group. And I know there are a lot of people out there who have those kinds of friendships in their lives and value them tremendously. But I also know, too, that just as you were saying, you know, for a long time you didn't have close friendships. And I've heard from a number of women and know a few women who even today still do not connect well. They see it as just an issue of who they are and how they relate to people, and that they just aren't really able.
Exactly. They're not
to
able.
Form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with author Patricia Sands. And as you've heard so far, Patricia is such a delight, isn't she? I'm so enjoying talking with her about one of my favorite topics, women and friendships. So stay tuned because there really is going to be more. And, oh, by the way, in case you forgot, Patricia's book is The Bridge Club. It was never just about the cards. And as you've heard so far, there's just so much more that we're going to talk about. Patricia's website is patriciasandsauthor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not that they don't want to, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can only talk about myself because of, you know, what I had to go through to be able to get through my own walls that I
mm-hmm.
created because
mm-hmm.
of the things that, the false beliefs, really, about women and that were based on, you know, my mother and my experiences and stuff. And so once I was able to work through those and that wall opened up, my goodness, what a great life on the other side.
That's true.
You know,
it is true.
Have these friends. So, Patricia, this group that you have, the Bridge Club that doesn't always play bridge, there's a special bond between you. Now, you talked about you having other friends, good friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what is the difference between the special bond that you have in this Bridge Club as compared to your other friends? Like, there's got to be some differences.
Oh, well, that's a good question because, I mean, I do have one friend in particular who, you know, we've been friends since prenatal days. And I consider her my sort of, you know, very best friend. And yet there's not really a difference between how I relate to her and how I relate to the women in the Bridge Club. But I think the thing with this Bridge Club is that it's more than one person. There's something about the collective friendship that we have in this group that makes it so special.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure that I can explain that. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes so much sense to me, and I wouldn't know how to put the words in it either, but it's,
mm-hmm.
it's like that collective energy.
Mm-hmm.
When you are together, you are in this space together, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's very different than you are with a one-on-one with your, you know, special friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
different. Very true. Yep.
Yeah, I understand.
And, you know, I mean, obviously when I was writing the book, I mean, the funny thing is that for years, you know, when we've been together, someone would say, you know, and we thought we were being particularly amusing, someone would say, oh, somebody should write a book about us, you know. And then we'd go, oh, yeah, ha-ha. Well, you know, 9 people would want to read it, and that's the rest of the group, and that's it. And so I, when I started writing, I was really just writing for the fun of it, and then it became serious.
Uh-huh.
And that's when it turned from into fiction. I mean, you know, The issues that are dealt with in the book, for the most part, did happen within our group over the years, but the book is still fiction, nevertheless. It's 8 characters instead of 10. I, you know, pulled different aspects of different personalities into characters, but always I've had the full support of this group of women. They thought it was a great idea. They talked to me about their experiences and, you know, reminded me of details that, of course, I'd forgotten over the years. So they had a lot of input into this story, and since the book's been published, they've been absolutely unstoppable. They've made up T-shirts with the cover of the book on the T-shirt. I have postcards, you know, as most authors do these days, that, you know, promote their book. They carry these postcards around and hand them out to everybody.
Oh,
I mean, they're absolutely shameless. But it's a great example of the, you know, the kind of support that's there. And
great.
They're thrilled for the success of it and enjoying it as much as I am. So
well, I'm sure they are. They can probably, when they read the book, they probably say, I wonder if this is me or if this is me. And, you know, it's like, oh, this sounds like me.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yes, yes. That's too funny. So in your group, this long-time friendship group, how do you handle jealousy?
Do you know, this is probably going to cause some people to roll their eyes and go, oh, brother. But you know, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And, I mean, you know, perhaps there are times when different women in the group have felt some sort of envy over something that's happened to somebody else, but I wouldn't be able to tell you when that was because, again, it's the kind of friendship that, like, everybody just celebrates everybody else's successes. If something good is happening within somebody's life, everybody's happy for them. And we're not all at the same, you know, financial level. We come from different backgrounds and you know, we have different career paths and all that sort of thing. But honestly, I cannot think of a time when there has been any type of jealousy issue. And I think that's a key factor. I mean, I'd be interested again, you know, in getting input from other people and their experience with friendship. But in a really good friendship, you don't feel jealous, you know. You're just happy for whatever's going on, and that works the same for you, too. You know, people are happy for what's happening in your life.
In your own group, you said 10, mm-hmm. Yes, there's 10 of you. What would you say was the most major crisis that happened, and how did your group handle it?
That's a good question, because, you know, many things happened, and at the time, they were major to the individual that, you know, was experiencing it. For instance, when I lost my husband, there was absolutely nothing more devastating than that. When another one of the women, when she went into alcohol rehab, I mean, that was a huge step for her and a major commitment in her life. And, you know, did another one declaring that she was gay. Again, major crisis. In terms of just, you know, telling your family and back in the 70s, of course, in those days, even your job was at risk. I mean, it was a terrible time when you know, understanding and acceptance just wasn't what it is today. Another one of the women had breast cancer. You know, I mean, these are all major crises. And so to ask me to pick one, I don't think I can do that.
And, you know, I understand. Because
I'm glad.
Yeah, I do, because each time, and obviously there wasn't much of an overlap of these crises, but each one have the special attention from the rest of them and to help them get through what they needed to get through. And
well, that's right.
Yeah.
And the of course, the fact of the matter is that these all happened over an extended, we're talking over 4 decades.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, but what a great feeling, isn't it, to know that when something terrible is happening to you that you don't even have to think about where you're going to find your support because you know where it is.
Did you find that, okay, so you had a major crisis in your life with your husband's passing. Did you find that with the group that was just another stage of closeness that occurred, and each time that there was a crisis that you all dealt with, there was just another level of closeness that occurred, and, you know, it just kept on escalating in the closeness?
Mm-hmm. Of course. You know, as you go through life and share experiences and build memories, all of those things work towards creating an even closer connection, for sure. You're absolutely right about that.
So what were some of the most fun things you did as a group? It's like, you know, which one comes to your mind?
The most fun we have is wherever we are and whatever we're doing, honestly.
Yeah.
We laugh so much. It is just unreal. And we've had such good times talking about trips that we're going to take together, and then actually we never got around to taking the trip. But we had such a good time talking about it that we sometimes even refer to those trips now and laugh about it because we feel like we actually were on them.
We were on the trip.
That's right. But we, you know, we always had an annual ski weekend up north, and we over the last few years when we've had our big group birthday parties, we have rented cottages in cottage country in Ontario, and then, of course, going out west to, we've gone out to the west coast twice, so that the girls on the west coast don't always have to come east, and, you know, we just do whatever's happening. This time around, there we were, you know, celebrating our 65th birthdays. Oh, my goodness, I still can't. I hear myself saying it, and I think, what? Really? So we were there for a week, and we were hiking. You know, British Columbia is just so fabulously beautiful.
Know.
And we went on road trips. We went hiking. We went to the beach. We went and did bumper cars. We went zip lining. We played a lot of bridge.
Oh, you actually did.
We actually did. Yes. We found the older we get, the more bridge we're playing. Yes. And some of us have actually become fairly serious about the game too. But some of the girls aren't. So, you know, when we play together, it's just for fun.
Oh, that's great. Our reviewer, when we reviewed your book, The Bridge Club, it was never just about the cards. Says, I absolutely loved The Bridge Club. It made me enormously grateful for the friends I have and for the things I've experienced, the places I've been to. It made me realize again how important female friendships are for us women, and how nothing else can really take their place. I thought that part was just, you know, wow. That is so true, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I said wow when I read the review, because that's exactly how I hope people will feel when they read the book. And actually, some men have read the book and given me very positive comments on it. One said that it was a great book for men to read to see how women think.
Yes.
Because all of these situations that they dealt with, they were all coming at from a woman's perspective, and how much they empowered each other with this friendship to face whatever crisis was looming in their lives. So to have the reviewer get that really makes me feel great. I think we're so lucky as women to, if we have wonderful friendships in our lives, and to be able to reflect on them and think how fortunate we are is a bonus.
Oh, I so agree. Thank you so much, Patricia, for coming on and talking with me. And as I say, you know, here we are. We're still talking, 40 minutes later, and I could go on and on talking about friendships of women. It's a, you know, because we're women.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're women, and we can just talk and talk about, you know, stuff that's so meaningful. so meaningful.
It's an easy topic to spend a lot of time talking about, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But thanks for your insightful questions. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you, and it's been my pleasure, too. And there you go, listeners. We were just talking with Patricia Sands and her newest book, The Bridge Club. It never was, or it was never just about cars. Let me just review that. The Bridge Club, it was never just about cards. And as you have heard in this conversation, it isn't about cards. The cards are just sort of a way of getting together. And I encourage you as listeners to look at your own friendships and just really put the values to what you do have with each woman that you are friends with. And just take that to that next level of friendship. And again, Patricia, thank you so much for talking to us.
It was my pleasure, Irene.
Thank you, listeners. And this is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.